I think many of us can realize how singing profound hymns really teach us. We can really get light and divine understanding with hymns written like this. Masterpieces, some by Brother Nee and Brother Lee and many others. Before we come to the outline itself, I need to share two important matters related to knowing and doing the will of God. And regarding doing the will of God, we all need to learn and then experience that we are living in two realms simultaneously. And if English is second language, realm, R-E-A-L-M, is like a domain or its territory. And so there are two realms or territories that we are living at the same time, simultaneously. But many dear believers may not realize the second realm. And so I just tell you what they both are and then share something about each one. There's the realm of grace. And the other one is the realm of government, God's government. And whether we know it or not, we're not just living under a human government wherever we are. We are living under the government of God. And when we come to 1 Peter in a few minutes, I will point out that there is this aspect of the Christian life that is living under the government of God. And realizing that under the government of God, God in this present age applies righteous judgment on so many things and so many persons, but also is bringing us into the reality of the kingdom. So the realm of grace, we read about this in, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace in a timely need. And please notice that in this verse, something comes before grace, and that's mercy. As I made known to you previously, that every morning I just pray for the Lord's measure of grace today. But many times I realize I will pray this, I do need this. But before that, I need mercy. Lord, you know me, and I just ask for mercy. And in the kingdom teaching in Matthew, blessed are those who are merciful. And it's a very serious matter. It's mentioned somewhere in James. If we don't show mercy on anyone, we will be judged at the judgment seat without any mercy. And so we come to the throne of grace and applying mercy and grace to receive the supply that we need for day. And the last verse in the whole new Bible, can anyone kind of refer to it or quote it, the last verse? What does it say? Something about the grace of Christ be with you all. God's last word to us, grace be with you all. The all-sufficient grace. And so it's marvelous, it's delightful, it's peaceful to realize we're living in the realm of grace. We're just surrounded by grace. Item after item is experienced and applied by grace. But there is another realm, a parallel realm, and that is the government of God. And of all the apostles, especially those who wrote parts of the books in the New Testament, some of us, we might be surprised that the author was Peter. And both of his epistles, they're quite short. But in first epistle of Peter, the subject is the Christian life under the government of God. So this may be a new thought to many of us. We're not just living under His grace, we're living under His government. And because it's the government of God, you come to a verse like 1 Peter 4:17, the righteous judgment of God begins at the house of God, the churches. Then it will spread out over the whole earth. So we need to have some spiritual understanding of not only the realm of grace, but the realm of God's government, where God is ruling now, and God is reacting now. And the Lord Himself, as a God-man, He was living under this government. And we can see this in this verse from 1 Peter 2, verse 23. Who being reviled, this is referring to Christ, who being reviled did not revile in return. Suffering he did not threaten, but kept committing all to him who judges righteously. So if we are doing the will of God, and we realize we're doing the will of God under the government of God, we will also, who's Christ living in us, we will live the same way. That I had a little experience, a little learning experience after dwelling on this verse and studying the book itself. I was in a country in South America, and after some messages, I was having a meeting with the leading brothers, and I warned them about a certain person who was writing and just sharing evil lies. And just be aware of that. And then for some reason, one of the brothers in that meeting, he sent an email to the brother who wrote that document that was full of lies. And then what he did was he put the whole thing online. And then he wanted to bring me to court, to try me out in court. Eventually, when it was brought to the judge, nothing happened. But when I heard about that, that he and another co-worker, he's going to put us on trial and all of these things. And then he said, well, maybe we could work this out in peace, but we wouldn't be political. But this verse came to mind. Lord, you know what he's saying, what he's doing. I just give it to you. I'm living under your government, and I just trust you to do it in your way and in your time, but you will do it in righteousness. And he did. And so we need to realize there is this realm of government that we are, whether we know it or not, they are. So if you got a child, say 6 years old, and is now going to the first grade of school, eventually they'll realize they're not under just the direction of your parents, but there's other authorities operating. Eventually, you know, there's all kinds of levels of this. And so one of the hymns we sang addressed with rebellion and lawlessness. So these two realms of grace and government, God's will is being done on earth through our living in both realms. And so the more we live by grace, when we realize we cannot live apart from grace, and we have today's measure of grace, we can testify that whatever takes place on any given day, His grace is all sufficient. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul just testified, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's just such a simple word that I'm doing this, living this way. It's all by the grace of God. But I owe it to you, and I must honor the Lord by pointing out there's another realm other than grace. And gradually, God the Father will make it known to you what it's like. And it's not a frightful place, but it is a particular realm where God's will is being done. And when more and more we are living in the realm of grace and in the realm of God's government, now the will of God can be done unhindered in every aspect of our living on the earth, whether it's grace or whether it's government. So I just wanted to give that brief, partial opening word. And more the light will shine. You'll have experiences in this realm, and you'll become conscious of living not only in the realm of grace, but in the realm of the kingdom. And maybe certain things will happen. And our natural reaction is, I'm ready to fight back. You write these things? I'm a better writer than you. Come on, let's go. But that's the fallen human being. If we turn to the Lord and open our being to Him, they'll have the sense, just give it to the Lord. Amen. Give it to the governing God. He does everything in a righteous way. And he judges many things here and now. And we will see it happen. And then we're going to see in this message 3 and even more in message 4, Lord willing, tomorrow morning, the very close connection between the will of God and the kingdom of God, almost to the point that the kingdom and the will are almost one. And so we need to have some basic understanding of the kingdom of God. And I realize many of you, maybe you were there in 1972 when Brother Lee gave the messages in this book called The Kingdom. I don't know, maybe it's almost 40 messages. I was there for the whole time. But there are dear saints that are, this is new, this is fresh. We need to just open the way that we all have the same proper understanding. That our God, among other things, is the King. And the Lord, after his resurrection and ascension and his enthronement, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so, we need to realize that we are living in this particular dimension, and that is the kingdom of God. That is the realm where he rules. And it has two basic aspects of it. One is objective, that Christ is the ruler over the whole universe. Everything objectively is part of God's kingdom. That's just a fact. But then we have a clear teaching in the New Testament, especially with the Gospel of John, that there's another aspect of the kingdom of God, and that is the realm of life. And so there could be the kingdom of plants, the kingdom of animals, the kingdom of human beings. There's no one ruling there, but there's this realm in a certain aspect of life. And so the kingdom of God is also organic. And we know from a verse in Luke around 17 or 18, when he said, they were asking him, when will the kingdom come? And he said, the kingdom is right here. Well, who was there? It was Christ himself. And so you have this aspect of the kingdom in the way of life. And in this realm, the will of God is done unhindered. So eventually, if we want to do the will of God that is being made known to us, then we need to realize the realm in which we are experiencing this, the realm of grace, the realm of government. Now we have to realize, whether we know it or not, or like it or not, we have been born into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3. We're born into it, and there is the King and the Lord. And we also need to realize, I won't turn to the verses, but in Matthew chapter 12, he cast out a demon from someone. And then the religious opposer said, you cast out demons by Beelzebul. And he said, that The same thing then must apply to you when you cast out demons. And then he said, the enemy, Satan, has a kingdom. So now there's the battle of two kingdoms in the universe. And right now, according to enlargement in numbers, almost 7 billion people are under and are in the satanic kingdom on the earth. They don't know where they are. They would just say, I'm just living on the earth, I'm in this country, whatever. But to realize you're under another kingdom. But we are kind of a unique kind of being. We've been born again and by water, we've been baptized, and we have entered into, organically, into the kingdom of God. And it's in this realm that his will is carried out. So this needs to penetrate us gradually, that doing the will of God equals living in the kingdom of God. Right? That doing the will of God is under the government of God. And living out the will of God is in the realm of grace. We need to where we are. And it's in this kind of arrangement that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the sovereign God, I believe even right now, he would know the exact number, except for those that are men that are bald. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Right? He just knows. He knows everything about us. He knows everyone's situation and how precious it is that here and there are believers that realize they know where they are. They are in the kingdom of God, in the realm of eternal life. And in this realm, they're learning to do my will, to actually carry it out. I've mentioned this before, but I just would like to mention it again. I hope that among those that will be one of the co-kings along with you in the millennium, so we can see overcoming saints from previous times. I'd like to have a little conversation with Apostle John, just to inquire of him, you know, just what was it like? And how did you learn this? Because you're telling us that you're living under the throne, you're doing the will of God in this realm. How did you learn this? And maybe he'll share with us what he went through. And so I hope you have some grasp of this, of where our doing of the will of God is carried out. Of course, it's in the human realm, in our daily living. But I'm talking about, in this message, the spiritual realm. So it's in the realm of grace. And we cannot live under the throne and doing the will of God without all-sufficient grace. We all have to learn that we're not able to do anything like this. But it's by the all-sufficient grace that enables us to do God's will in this way. And we realize now the will of God is being done in the realm of the kingdom. And I just want to bring something forth. It may be something fresh to those that are maybe in the first time in a meeting like this or hearing a message on a subject like this. The two requirements in our Christian life for being allowed to enter into the kingdom in the coming age. And we see that in Matthew chapter 25. And the first is, there were, 10, in this case they were females, and five of them, they not had oil, that is the Spirit, in their spirit, but in their vessel, that is in their soul. And the other five, they passed away. Now they're being resurrected, but when they passed away, they had no portion of this in their soul, only in the spirit. So when they came forth, they're told that you're not able to enter into the kingdom, its manifestation. You have to be filled with the spirit, not just in your spirit, but in your whole being. And so according to the parable, they said, well, please give us some of your oil. But they had to say, and we will have to say, we can't do that. You have to buy your own. So there is the need for us to grow in life to maturity and to be filled in life in every part of our being, even to the point where we experience Romans 8:11. And the time will come when you will treasure this verse experientially. And the basic thought is, if the spirit of the one who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body. And so our spirit, according to Romans 8:10, is life. It's Zoe. It's the word used for eternal life. And also, if we are mature, then our soul is saturated also. So that is one requirement, that your inner being has been filled. And then there's something very different following that in the same chapter. And the word called talents, that doesn't mean ability to do something special. It's just a certain requirement of I'm giving you like this kind of amount or this kind of elements to use practically. And so he gave five to some, three to others, and one for all the others. And so when the Lord came, he wants to know, what is the outcome? And according to the parable, the one with five said, Lord, you gave me five, and now I can bring to you five more. And he said, well done. Enter into the joy of your master. And then the one with two or three, I think it was two, He said, Lord, you gave me two, and I used them, and I produced two more. And the Lord said, well done, faithful servant. And then those with one talent, they said, you gave us one, and so I just kind of buried it underground and kept it safe. Now I can bring it back to you. And the Lord had to rebuke him. Then he said, take away from this one talent and give it to the one with the 10. And there's something, dear saints, that's very important in any local church of some size. Most of the saints will have one talent. The vast majority will. And somewhere, I'm trusting memory through a little bit, that Brother Nee has a message on this, or at least some speaking about it, that if all those that have one talent would function it, it would affect the whole earth. Just to realize the Lord has given this capacity, and most of the saints are like this, and if you would just use what the Lord has imparted to you, and don't measure yourself by someone else, don't try to imitate, don't feel inferior because they can do this and you can't. Just realize you have your portion. Remember I said you have a measure of Christ that no one else has. And now you have a function that no one else has. And the Lord wants that to be developed so when he comes, he'll be able to say to you, even though if you're mature in life, if you're not faithful in service, he couldn't say, well done, come into the kingdom. And so the will of God is related to all of these aspects of the kingdom life. And that's one of the important realms in which the will of God is done. And so let me just summarize this, and then we'll come to the outline, and then there'll be ample time for the saints to share. And so that is, we are in the two realms of grace and government. And we need to exercise our spirit to receive the divine dispensing so that our whole inner being will be filled with the life-giving spirit. And then also we will be faithful and diligent in serving. And I don't want to get into it in detail, but I just don't know, and maybe it's better that I don't know. I don't know how many saints have a serving spirit in them. That in the first years, I mentioned before, that we all had practical service, not just on the spiritual side. But on Saturday morning, we would come after breakfast about 8 o'clock and pray and have fellowship. And then for 3 or 4 hours, there's just some practical service. And I don't know what is in the thinking of the saints. Maybe the thought is, I'm in the church life. I come to the meetings. I do this and that, and all that's true. But what about the other side of the service? That's why I was quite touched When I received the email from two co-workers in Taiwan, maybe asked you to come and give us message in a series of messages for the serving ones, to those that are giving themselves to service. So there was quite a large number. So there were six messages given concerning serving God. Because this is also an aspect of the realm in which the will of God is done. Because part of His will is not that we only grow in life, that we pray, that we experience and enjoy Christ. There's another part of it, and that is serving. And there needs to be an atmosphere in the church life again, a practical service. Okay, we're in this meeting hall. Who put all the chairs together? What about the floor? About everything here? It's something so simple, but this is practical service. And the Lord is going to remember. There's a verse in Hebrews says, the Lord remembers all of your service. You may forget, and that's good. But the Lord remembers. I remember how you served with the children on the Lord's Day and taught them. I know how you do this and that. And now, this is part of your reward. And so all of this is my attempt to begin to make it clear the realms in which the will of God is done. And now we turn to the outline itself, and it will be developed more in message 4 about the subject says doing the will of God in this age. But we will see the context is the kingdom. So we're doing the will of God of our Father in this age. So that is now, during our lifetime. But we'll see from this little short outline that this is taking place in the kingdom. And I want to emphasize this. The kingdom of God and the will of God are almost identical. So if you're in the kingdom, if you see it, you've been born into it, then you need to realize the will of God is done here. And if you are getting spiritual understanding concerning doing the will of God, then you will also see, I need to do this will in the realm of the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. And that is why we'll see, we read the verses already from Matthew 7, but we'll see them tomorrow. Verses that honestly just changed my whole life way back in October 1966. I told the Lord I had to understand these verses about not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom. And it's possible when the Lord was speaking to those who came and said, Lord, look what we did. Look at all what we accomplished. And He said, I don't know you. This means it's altogether possible. And I have to say, sadly, it may be actual that there may be one talented saints who stand before the Lord and they can present the second talent. And there may be, there's no one in mind, there's no such thing, it's just a thought. But there might be some rather gifted brother, even a co-worker, who did so many things. And he could say, look what I did, I traveled here, I preached the gospel there, I raised up a church here. We did this. And the Lord would say, I don't know you. You were not directed to do that. You did it on your own. Depart from me. There was not going to be some, what we consider special serving ones. If we just be content, we're just members of the body and ordinary members, and learn to do His will in the context of the kingdom of God in the church. And the relationship between the church and the kingdom is this, that when the Lord was on the earth, He and then He instructed the apostles to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He Himself preached the gospel of the kingdom. And He said in Matthew 24:14, the kingdom of God must be preached throughout the inhabited earth. Then the Lord will come. And then when someone is regenerated, they've been born again and been baptized, then they're brought into the kingdom by regeneration. And so it is the gospel of the kingdom producing believers that brings the churches into being. And then the essence of a church is really the reality of the kingdom. Not just the name, but this is where things become of utmost importance in the Lord's teaching. Okay, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are this and that. Because then they can receive the life supply from the Lord. So now I hope we can come to this point about doing the will of God in this age, but doing it in this age with the awareness that we're doing this in our personal Christian life under the government of God, and in particular in the church life in the kingdom of God. One, in order to enter into the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens in the coming age, we must do the will of our Father in this age. If this one point would touch you, I believe that's the core of the message. In order to enter into the manifestation of the kingdom, don't you have that personal hope that when the Lord comes, you will be part of the bridal army coming with Him and participate in the spiritual warfare at Armageddon? And then all the governments will be terminated and the kingdom will be manifested on the earth, and the overcoming ones, I wouldn't say overcomers, the person, but those that have been overcoming in the situation, so then they can be called an overcomer later. And then the Lord will give them various places on the earth, all the different countries, all the different cities. You're going to be there. The Lord Himself will be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. And the apostles will be there. But the other overcoming saints who are in the manifestation of the kingdom, the Lord will send them, I don't know, if somehow, but by grace and faithfulness, I'm one of them. I don't know if he would say, Ron, you know, you were a Finn, you were 97% Finn, so I'm going to send you to Helsinki for 1,000 years. Well, We have no idea where we'll be, but it's actually going to happen. And the dear believers that are not, able to do it, they're not prepared to do it. We're just told they're in the outer darkness. Whatever it is, I'm not saying that's literal, but it's something outside of the kingdom. It's outside for 1,000 years. So that's why you just consider with time, even if you live a very long life into your 90s, like many in my family, 96, grandmother, 96, auntie, I don't know where it'll go. But that doesn't compare with 1,000 years. And it's not mainly for suffering, it's for perfecting. What didn't take place during your lifetime in this age will take place in a particular way in that age. And so you just think about it. And then you make the decision. And then it's your prayer, Lord, I choose for this to take place here and now. Amen. Not in the coming age. Amen. And then there can be a prayer upon that, Lord, just do whatever you need to do. I'm an open vessel, but I want you to gain me for your kingdom here and now. Amen. And there's also something, I think it's in Luke 12 toward the end. It's something that we should be aware of. That when all the believers are standing before the judgment seat, many, many genuine believers will be able to say, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know. No one taught me. I didn't know what your will of God is. And the Lord said, I know. You will just get a few stripes under the training. And then there will be others, including us, that will not be able to say, Lord, we didn't know. We didn't know about this. How could we say that? That we have to admit we knew about it. We learned about it. Then he might say, you didn't do it, did you? And so the 1,000 years will be more difficult for you and for the others. Because it's a blessing for us to know biblical truths that the vast majority of believers don't know. It's a blessing. But also now, it creates a responsibility in us. We have learned these things. We have been taught these things. So we have no excuse for not experiencing them. Because the Lord could say, I'm sure we're not going to be able to, even some person who is skilled in debate, he would not be able to debate here to say, I gave you all that you need, but you didn't do it. I enlightened you. You knew the truths. You didn't do it. So you just have to be perfected in another way. Then eventually all the believers of all the ages at the end of the millennium, we will all be mature and we will all be expressing with glory the triune God. But I'm mentioning all of this in the context of the manifestation of the kingdom in the coming age. Because the kingdom and the will are almost identical. If we are to be in the manifestation of the kingdom, we must do the will of God assigned to us. And then, so we must do the will of the Father in this age. Romans 2. The kingdom is absolutely a matter of God's will and completely fulfills God's will. In fact, the kingdom is God's will. And this comes from one of Brother Lee's messages. We could say in our thinking, well, the kingdom is this and the will of God is this. And we can define it that way. But in actual experience, the kingdom is God's will, and God's will is the kingdom. They are experientially identical. So if someone learns, if you learn something this weekend, and you want to know God's will, and you want to do God's will arranged for you, then the Lord will make it clear to you that this means you will do it in this age in the church as the kingdom of God on the earth, because the kingdom of God and the will of God experientially are one. And so we're taking quite a step from just saying, Lord, I know your will. I want to do your will. Then we need to realize the environment in which the sovereign God will arrange for you to do it. And so, hopefully, they could have at least a little conversation with Brother Nee somewhere. I hope I'm there with him in the millennium, and just say, I was told, Brother Nee, that you were in Hong Kong, in a very safe place. And then one morning you asked a brother to bring him to the train station. You didn't talk to anyone about it. You just went. Then you went back into the mainland of China. And I believe he would say, that was God's will. And then he was arrested and accused of all kinds of false things. Even some saints that had been in the churches, they stood against him. And I read in, there was at least one meeting in a large church where the communist leaders came and said, look, we're not against Christianity and what you believe, but this man, Watchman Nee, he's the one that if you would separate yourself from him, you'll be okay. And then he walked out. And some did that. And I'm not worried, but I have reason to believe if a similar situation ever broke out on any part of the earth, the same thing will happen again. And then, for 20 years, he was in confinement. As you might have heard of I saying in a message recently in one of the seven feasts, the conferences, the Lord said, I have maintained my joy to the end. And he might say, Ron, It was God's will that I would spend 20 years in this confinement, because in a deep and hidden way, that was the depth of my ministry of life. Because as I said prior, if you find it, that I'm touching life in a fresh and living way, and it effortlessly is flowing into the body. There's nothing I need to say or do. This is a body matter. And surely, when he stands before the Lord, I believe for the 2,000 years, he'll be in the category of the 12 apostles in the New Testament. What a price he paid. And I'm so thankful, this little bit of our history, that Brother Lee, Brother Nee, realized that I can't get through in the United States and I can't get through in Europe. It has to be in China. And so the Bible and certain basic teachings was brought to China. But I'm sorry to say that so much of Bible truth, so much life supply in the ministry that flowed out from China here. There's a certain kind of racism. What is that? Probably some kind of East mysticism, some strange thing. So they would accept it from Europe, they would accept it from here. How sad this is. But I just thank the Lord for his mercy, that when I made that prayer, Lord, whoever can, show me what these verses mean in Ephesians 3:10 through 12. I will follow him, meaning I can trust his teaching. And then I found out it was a man from China. I can honestly say it doesn't care. It doesn't matter from where. It doesn't matter the race. It's a body matter. And so what a blessing that we received the flow in the body from another part of the earth. Yes. And this allowed me to repeat something, if I mentioned it here, that in 1948, after the election of a new president, and Brother Nee called everyone together, he said, we know with this president, he will not come in on our side against the communists. So we all have to be ready for the persecution to come. And then he said, but you, Brother Lee, you have to leave to go to Taiwan or Hong Kong. And as they were walking together while dinner was being prepared, with tears, why am I not worthy? Am I not worthy to be here? And he told him, everything may be lost, but you can carry it on elsewhere. And eventually the Lord sent him here in 1962. How blessed we are. And so we learned the relationship between the kingdom and God's will. Three, the ultimate issue of the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens is the will of the Heavenly Father. So again, this is addressing from another angle, from another point of view. Then four, as the kingdom people, we are on earth to do the Father's will. I like this statement. We're kingdom people. We are on earth to do the Father's will. And we, in the vital prayer meeting that I referred to, just the three of us, from time to time, the Lord just led us to pray, Lord, may your will be done on the earth. The Father's will. Point five, whoever does the will of the Father is a relative of the Lord Jesus. And we read that verse, but here's some application of it. Christ, the heavenly King, always submitted to the Father's will, taking God's will as his portion and not resisting anything. And let me bring to your remembrance a particular time. The Lord was 33 and a half years. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, hours before he was arrested. And he had three of his disciples there, Peter and the other two. He said, stand here and pray. I'm going to pray. He fell down on his face. And he said, Father, must I drink this cup? Is it possible for this cup not to be given to me? And of course, that was the cup of death for our redemption. And then he said in his prayer, not my will, but your will be done. And he prayed that again in that situation. And so when that was all done, and he led the apostles to a certain place, then a large number of people came with weapons to arrest him. And Peter thought it was being helpful, so he took out a sword and cut off an ear of someone. And the Lord said to him, Why are you doing this? The cup the Lord has given me, I'm taking it in. Then he healed the ear. And also when he said, like this in John, he said, who are you looking for? He said, we're looking for Jesus. And then he said, I am. And they all went backward and fell down. He said, I am. Because that's a definition of God. But then he said in Luke, you know, this is the time for the evil ones. This was God's will. Whoever does the will of the Father is a brother who helps the Lord Jesus, a sister who sympathizes with him. And I'm glad the Lord related this to the sisters. They just have the depth of their feeling where they can express this deep concern, the deep sympathies. And a mother who tenderly loves him. Okay, now the section six and all the subpoints. The kingdom people need to pray for God's will to be done on earth as in the heavens. This is to bring the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. So we need to focus on this. Okay, the kingdom people need to pray. God needs us to pray for the Father's will to be done on the earth as in the heavens. This is a crucial prayer. And it can't just be on a list of items to pray in a kind of formal way, but it's a burden that rises up. We pray for the Father's will to be done on the earth as it is in the heavens. This must take place. This is in Matthew 18, as we pointed out. This is to bring the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. So when we pray for the Father's will to be done, we are actually bringing the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. Because now it's clear in our being, the will of God and the kingdom of God are simultaneous. They're one, experientially. A, after the rebellion of Satan, the earth fell into his usurping hands. The will of God could not be done on earth as in heaven. God created man with the intention of recovering the earth for himself. Read these verses. That's quite a task. He's speaking to them in the Garden of Eden. He didn't say, isn't this a lovely place? I just want you to stay here forever and to enjoy me. No, I want you to reproduce yourself so that the people are all over the earth to recover the whole earth. That's why I created you, these two things, that you will express me and represent me with authority and recover the earth. We were created, dear ones, amen, to express Christ, and we were charged to recover the earth. It doesn't mean that we're going to recover the entire earth in this age, but we will gain significant portions of the earth. Brother Lee uses this word. Then it's a landing ground. This is where he can come, because the whole earth has been given to the Lord Jesus for the coming kingdom. But now we have opened the way for him to do this. So we were created with the intention of recovering the earth. And so again, I wouldn't say my heart aches, but it's just sad within. Millions and millions of believers are just focusing on heaven. We just want to go in heaven. And in the Father's place, there's going to be a place for us. And missing the basic teaching in Genesis 1, 26 and 28, revealed in the New Testament, that the will of God will be done on earth. The kingdom of God will be manifested on the earth. The Lord will recover the earth. He's coming back to reign on the earth. D, after the fall of man, Christ came to bring the heavenly rule to earth so that the earth could be recovered for God's interest, so that the will of God could be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Christ came to bring the heavenly rule to earth so that the earth could be recovered for God's interest. I just wonder how many Christians all over the earth this week prayed for the recovery of the earth. And so the prayers have to be rising up from us, not in a kind of formal way, but just spontaneously it rises up. Lord, we're here to recover the earth for God's interests. And we are praying for this so that the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So certain things that have taken place in heaven, the battle now is they must be applied on the earth. E, this is why the new king established the kingdom of the heavens for his followers. F, the kingdom people must pray for this until the earth is fully recovered for God's will in the coming kingdom age. I want to repeat this. The kingdom people must pray for this until the earth is fully recovered. So we're going to keep praying until the Lord has returned to the earth for God's will in the coming kingdom age. G, the Father's name is sanctified. The Son's kingdom has come, and the Spirit's will is done on earth as in heaven. That will be the time of the manifestation of the kingdom. Okay, I repeat. The Father's name is sanctified. How is his name treated? And even unbelievers just use it for cursing. His name must be sanctified. And the Son's kingdom must come. And the Spirit's will must be done again on the earth as it is in the heavens. Just this basic thought, Lord, what is in the heavens? These things must take place on the earth. And we're on the earth praying to bring this down from heaven to earth. Amen. And we're not going to stop. And we pray that there will these kind of prayers going on and on in little vital groups until this takes place. Then the last point. We who are in the reality of the kingdom today must pray for these things. So this is doing the will of God, of the Father in this age. And I hope that we see that we are participating in this in the context of these two realms of grace and of government. And we're under the authority of the King in the heavens. Dear brothers and sisters, how blessed we are. Amen. To know these profound truths. Amen. And the Lord will shepherd us. He will work inwardly for us to make this clear to each one of us and to make it experiential so that all of us will exercise our portion to fulfill the desire of God's heart, for the will of God may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So we have about 22 minutes at least for 1 minute speaking. And so, again, just pray with someone nearby if you have the feeling to for about 30 seconds. And then let's just follow the inner leading. But let's try to keep it to a minute. How we'll do it, I don't know. But at least try that we could get maybe 25 or 30 saints sharing something in any language that we can can understand. Okay. Please pray and then share.